I want to teach or preach this morning on something that is of great benefit. One of the blessings that my family and I have had in ministry is the fact that 24 to 30 hours every week I must study the Word of God to be able to feed His flock for these three services each week. And whether I've done it willingly at all times or not, it does not matter, because the effect is still the same of all that Word going in. And so things that at one time I quaked and shook and prayed and fasted because I needed God's help, you finally understand you don't have to do all that as you grow in faith, and you just know God's going to take care of you. See, in your knower, when you know, that's faith. And I think one of the things that really helps each and every one of us if we've had children is the fact my kids don't have to call me every day to ask me if they love me. I love them. If I know one of my kids has a need, you can bet if I can help, it's on the way. Now, there's limits to all that, but I'm trying to express, if I, being evil, want good things for my children, how much more does my Heavenly Father? And so I want to bring this message today for two purposes and two groups of people, probably. Number one is those that you have fallen into the thought process you've got to earn the blessings, the healings, the prosperity, the salvation that God gives. Folks, if you could earn it, Calvary would not have been necessary. God loves unconditionally. And the second thing I want to bring forth is the fact that faith is all that's required. And faith is as far removed from feelings as the East is from the West. Many times Christians correlate how they feel with whether to do or not they have faith for a circumstance. And I've got to confess to you, not being a novice at this, that I have seen God do as much when I had absolutely no feeling about it as I did whenever I had goosebumps. But I've never seen Him do anything if I didn't have faith. Because faith is what it takes to move God. And so the reason we've come here today, besides to bring Him our sacrifice of praise, is we have come to grow in faith because we live in a faithless generation. We live in a world where the God of this age, He is called the God of the airwaves, has so scientifically and methodically designed all that we see and hear to remove us from the thought process that God exists, or that God is willing, or that God is able. And so with that, I want to read this first scripture, and then you can be seated. This I do know, and that is that faith wins. When ultimately it's all boiled down, those with faith in God are the ones that are going to be victorious. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it's recorded that while we look not at things which are seen, I want you to look at this right here. See this right here? This thing that's not seen, do you see this? How do you see something that's not seen? Let me read that again, because y'all acted like it made perfect sense. I want to read it again. It makes no sense at all. Oh yeah, that made sense. No, it doesn't. While we look not at things which are seen. How do I look at something that's not seen? By faith. If you're looking at things that aren't seen, you're already in a very small minority of the world. You're already someone that believes in something you cannot see. You're whacked out. You're weird. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. My faith is totally built on things I do not see, but yet I know. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Lord bless each and every one of you. You may be seated. I want to continue on with Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. This scripture is so relevant because I think each and every one of us, if we're not cautious and careful, could come to a place to where we are guilty of having this feeling. And therefore the apostle wrote, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. I have paid tithes. I have given my offering. I have prayed for that family member. I have done this. I have done that." And honest to goodness, we look and suddenly years have gone by and we're still saying the same prayers. We're still giving our tithe. We're still giving the offering. We're still dragging our bones out of bed and getting to church. And all that's joyful, but there are times that we become weary. Every one of us can grow weary in well-doing. If you find yourself in that position before you leave today, I want to be a connection to your source through the words of faith he's given me to speak here, because the Energizer Bunny wants to show up and recharge your life. Weariness in well-doing is normal. But if you do not find your way back to the well, you can go beyond that. Because it goes on to tell us, but for in due season we will reap if we faint not. If we recharge, if we believe, if we continue to hope. I want to have a key verse this morning in Isaiah chapter 55. It's going to be verses 8 and 9. And God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I taught a lesson years ago that says, "I know I don't know." But I've added to it this morning, because I don't want to stop with the thought process, "I know I don't know." I want to finish that title and say, "I know I don't know, but this I do know. Faith in God and His Word win." And that's all I know. I want to express to those of you that maybe you've been seduced by the latest pillow prophet that has made you believe somehow that you can give an offering and get out of debt. That has made you believe somehow that you just need to go to the next healing service and be healed. That has made you believe somehow that when you pray the proper prayer that you'll never have problems. And I need, as the pastor, as an under-shepherd or the good shepherd, to let you understand, if that were true, Christ could have missed going to the cross. You see, I'm following Him in the example of His lifestyle. And He told me to daily take up my cross. I'm trying to bring a message that it's not popular at all, but it's a truthful message. It will strengthen you in the years ahead. And that is the fact that your problems and your pain are what will make you in your prosperity in every endeavor in your life. You've never had a child that spoiling them made them stronger. Neither does God. And I am not trying to be negative, nor to be flippant, or to bring division in the body of Christ. I believe absolutely in the blessings and the benefits of following the Lord. But I also believe absolutely that those benefits and blessings come upon the people of faith that endure naturally. They don't have to be begged for. You don't need hands laid on you and someone to blow on you that has some big name ministry, because they're not the source of your blessing. The source of your blessing is God the Father. And what activates that is your faith in Him, not your feelings. You can have absolutely no feeling at all when you drop money in the plate and you'll still get credit. You can have no feeling at all when you pray for the sick, you'll still get credit. You see, it's not you that can heal them no matter how you felt. And that keeps many of us from ever being effective in the kingdom of God, is we don't do something because of how we feel. And what may put you in dismay is how your feelings will change when you have no feeling and you step out to do that you feel like you should do. I hope this helps this morning. You see, I know I don't know, but this I do know, that my faith in God and His Word will win. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Do you recognize that as the pastor and the senior pastor of this church, do you recognize that you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a seasoned believer, that you're not even required to totally know or understand? Sometimes if we would quit trying to figure God out, and we'd just simply, like a little child, believe what His Word said. And when we put that Word in our mind, it's forever sealed. We have no more questions. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. Therefore, He said it. I believe it. It's real. So when He says we know in part and we prophesy in part, if the apostle didn't know it all, how in the world? Don't you understand that the older minister you go to ask questions will know less than the younger minister you go to ask questions? Do I need to explain that? I had a lot more answers 30 years ago. And now I've just got one. I don't know. It's faith. Am I going to receive this blessing? Am I going to receive this healing? Is He going to save my marriage? Is this? Is that? Is that? I don't know. It's faith. And when you finally come to the conclusion that no one else knows either, see, you need to come to that realization. Anyone that still has all the answers, the very person you don't want to talk to because they're misguided. They still have not arrived at the spiritual maturity that the prophets and the apostles came to. And that is to say, we only know in part. Oh, but let's venture on. Because this morning what God is trying to do is stir some of us to make us no longer equate our current situations in life with how much God loves us and wants to help us. Because that's walking by sight, and I'm not to walk by sight. I'm to focus on the unseen. I'm to focus on hoping against hope. And if you'll just keep hoping against hope. My wife and I, she's turning 63. I don't know if I told you, we're waiting another 32 years and going to have a baby. Did I tell y'all that? Well, you heard it here. That's what God asked Abram to do. You see, he hoped against hope. Everything in the Bible is to share with you. You don't give up no matter how old you are. You never grow weary in well-doing. And we all are human. And if we're not careful, we actually come to the place where we come sit in the house of worship. We come sit in the house of encouragement that we're closed to it. We have arrived at the point of no return where I'm just old and I haven't seen it happen, so I'm just going to, you know. You need to enjoy this time in the house of God. You need to go ahead and act like you're in a gym. Challenge yourself and allow your current position to strengthen you to become stronger than you've ever been. Someone ought to stand up and say, my God, that's good preaching. That's as good. But you see, he says, but when that which is perfect comes, then we'll know that which done away with. We're not going to know all things till the Lord comes again. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known also. I can't see it all. I can't know it all. And it is amazing. Have you ever been driving and just that little post that separates the windshield from the side window, there was a car disappeared because you had no visual reference because it was just hidden for an instant behind that post. Now, just that little invisible portion could have certainly changed your future had you gone on and pulled out. When we see through a glass darkly, those same blessings can be blotted out by just a portion of the smoked glass. Those same salvations can be blotted out. It doesn't take much to blot out a whole lot. And I'm trying to express that studying my Bible and having lived for God as long as I have, I finally have come to peace with the fact I don't need to know. I only need to know two things. I need to know God's Word, the God His Word speaks of, and have faith in that. Amen. And everything else will take care of itself. Amen. It's that simple. But you cannot get there overnight. And if you're not cautious, all of us must walk through that wilderness. And many of them did die in the wilderness because they grew weary in well-doing. I see in part. I know in part. I know I don't know. That's why it's faith. But now abides faith. Here's what we can abide in. I can't abide in knowledge of all things. But God says, that's perfect hasn't come yet. But I want to encourage you, Kevin. Because even though He's not here to perfect everything, He's given us three things that abide now. And they're such great things that even when He comes, these things won't be done away with. And the first thing that's here now that won't be done away with, prophecy's going to be done away with. Tongues are going to be done away with. But these three things that won't be done away with because they are so perfect, the first one of them's faith. We're going to need faith in the world to come. Hope and love. These are the greatest, and the greatest of them is charity. Now, I know that I don't know, and that's why it's called faith. But this I do know, my faith and your faith is what wins. And let me take it a step further this morning. Many times we're pushed around by the power of darkness, doubt, fears, worries, frustrations. The enemy tries to put us in a dark room where negatives can be developed. But the truth of the matter is, it's all right not to know the reason for your situation. I quit asking God a long time ago, God, why do I have this heart problem? Why am I fat? I don't want to know. I mean, I just quit asking Him some things. Sometimes it's better not to know. I just, by faith. You see, what's important is not me working on what I have to know. What's important is me believing what His Word says. And when I learn to quit fighting the enemy, but fighting for the faith, then God steps in. Then God steps in. It's all right to be sick. But you don't want to cast away faith, hope, and love. In 2 Timothy, the apostle wrote this, chapter 4, verse 20. He says, Erastus abode at Corinth. Why? Well, Trophimus, or whatever his name is, Trophimus, he said, I had to leave him at Miletus, because he was sick. Now, charismatic people overlook the fact that the apostles had to many times leave their helpers behind sick. Well, I thought they're shadow healed people. Yeah, when the Lord willed it. They didn't know when that was going to happen. You see, they just showed up. We've got to get real. And by getting real, then we'll quit trying to attain something that's not real. I don't know where you are today, but and I know this sounds a little bitter, and it's not, it's just informative. I really am tired of seeing my good friends and my family in the kingdom of God disappointed due to irrational teachings. Well, brother, you'd be healed, you just don't have enough faith. Yeah, that feels good. Brother, if you'll send me $1,000, you'll be healed. Oh, I'm not rich enough to get God's love. Or you can go right on down the line. And the truth of the matter is, when you study the Word of God, you're going to find out the apostles were never in charge of their future. God's in charge of their future. You're not going to believe this. You're not in charge of yours. And you assume you are. Because all of us have one common fear, at least. And that is not being in control. And the more insecure we come, the more in control we want to be. Oh, let me get off that. And so the truth of the matter is, it's all right not to feel goosebumps. Feelings don't have to accompany faith, as I've already said. It's not all right to be frustrated, though, and give up and quit. There are times when you will feel absolutely no faith at all. It's when you want to get your word out. It's when you want to be sure and show up for church. That's when you want to make sure that you're all you can be, because God's honoring that more than at any other time. I don't want to walk back through all the stories. I can just say some names. It'll trigger your thoughts. What about Joseph in the pit? What about Joseph in the prison? What about Daniel and Eliza? Was that considered prosperity? Let me get this straight. Oh, Joseph, I prophesy to you, thou shalt be sold by your brethren. Thou shalt be cast into a pit, and there be famished and thirsty. You know, we don't read that part in the Bible, but let me just tell you, you get thrown in a pit, it's a pretty dark place, there's nothing to eat or drink. Thou shalt go to prison, thou shalt be light on, oh, Joseph, Joseph. We want prophecies like, everything you do, a touch will be great, God's going to use me. Every time someone gets a prophecy over them, I always know it's on one of three prophecies. They go to a foreign church, and man, they come back. Hey, let me get into that. Peter, I'm going to prophesy to you. When you get old, your hands will be bound and they're going to lead you where you do not want to go. What's happened to us? Have we become so degraded and so carnally minded that everything has to benefit us when it's not God? Can anyone ever come back to the spot to where they would actually get up and say, God, what is it I can do for you? Or is it just all about you? And that gospel is very popular. It's not all right to be frustrated and give up and quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which we came to in Asia. Well, you know, brethren, I'll just tell you how I look at that right now. If they had really been in the Lord when they went down there on that mission trip, they wouldn't have had that kind of trouble. Yeah. Yeah, that's my opinion. That's probably why you're not pastor. Because you'd give your opinion and you'll learn pastor and shut up and let the Lord give His. And so the truth of the matter is, when I read the biblical account, how many want the biblical account? How many are tired of being brainwashed and seduced by the surroundings? How many are tired of being seduced and deceived by the false presence of the Lord, because we have the lights and the sound and the music and the crowd? I think the Word is what tells us what the truth of the Lord is. And when I look at His Word, I'm not trying to say we've got to be beaten up, we've got to be poor, and we've got to be sick to get the salvation of the Lord. What I am trying to say is those things are going to come to every person regardless of how much or how little finances they have. I'm trying to share with you that time and trouble is going to come to every soul that's in the earth, because there's no way you can be tested except those tribulations are allowed into your life. And if God didn't allow them in your life, then He doesn't love your neighbor that doesn't know Him, and He doesn't love conditionally. He loves unconditionally. The difference is you've been given an opportunity of faith that you can change your future, that every weapon formed against you can come to non-prosperity, that you can rise above your problem. Because He'll see you through it. He won't deliver you from it. You'll still face it. You'll still walk through it. But in the middle of your desperation, in the middle of your destitute, in the middle of when you feel like God no longer knows where you are, in the middle of you even wondering if there is a God, you fight for faith, and you may not feel a single goosebump. You may not even want to quote a scripture. It may even make you sick when you hear someone speak in tongues. You may never want to hear the gospel preached. But anybody know what I'm talking about? I hope you don't. But if you don't recognize the fact that the only thing you've got is the fight for faith, and that faith is in God and in Christ and His Word, and that's what you hold on to, you hold on to the blood. You know why, Therese? I'm not looking at anything that can be seen, because when I look at what can be seen, I don't see anything good in my life. That's shocking some of you. You know what's amazing? How real can I get this morning? You know what's so amazing to me? I got home last night from a wedding, but we left at 9. Worked all day. Had another 16-hour day. No big deal. I get home to my wife and finally talk to her for Beth. And, hey, baby, I want to tell you two things. What's that, sweetie? I said, number one, you're my bright spot in life. I said, number two, you're the only sane person I know. Now, I know none of the rest of you have ever talked like this, have you? And I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm about to say, therefore I probably should not say it. Let me go on. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." Can I tell you something? Those of you that are young, you know what you're working so hard to do? You're working hard to get everything you think you need to make you happy. And you're going to go chase your tail, and you're going to buy houses you cannot afford, and cars that you should have gotten one for less money. And you're going to do other things on your credit cards that you couldn't live without. And then by the time you get that race all the way wrapped around it, and you get old and gray-headed like some of us in this room, you're going to figure out none of that meant anything. You have wasted your whole stinking life. What really mattered is what you did for Jesus Christ and put an eternity in your family, in the minds of your people. But we can't tell you, because I was just like you, and this is not a put down. You've got to learn on your own. Can I tell you something else? When you're young, you think at my age, we got it all figured out, we don't have any problems. Oh, sweetie, honey, let me tell you something. I got more problems than I've ever had in my life. Do you know what's amazing? They're not my problems. Hey, my life's good. My life's good. It's the people I know. I can't say my family because they're in the house. Because you want perfection in everyone's life. I mean this caringly and lovingly and not coy. You know, I'm speaking truth to you. My life's great. You know why my life's so good, there is? Because I could have a can of beanie weenies and live under a bridge and I'm still content. That big mansion I built in my 20s, doesn't mean anything. Those airplanes I used to fly, fun, doesn't mean anything. Those cars, the jet boat, but that stuff doesn't mean anything. You know what's so neat about this age? Bernardo, I don't need much to be happy. Just my bright spot. And I'm not impressed. You know, you go to someone's house, oh, big house. Oh, this boy just built a 3,700 square foot house. God bless him, it's his note, not mine. Hallelujah. But the good news. You know the good news about him building that big house? Now, Andrew, you didn't hear me say this. That's his mother. You put your fingers. The good thing about when you have a kid with that size house, though, if they do ever get behind, you're not even going to consider helping them out. Some of you can relate to that, some of you can't, okay? I'm just trying to tell some of you, when you have kids, you're like, oh my God, they're going to turn 18, they're going to leave the house. Yeah, they're going to build it, it's expensive. But anyway, I'm trying to express to you that when you get to be our age, the Bible says that with much wisdom comes much sorrow. You know more than you ever know. And sometimes you just want to go in your house and the only other sane person you knew, just turn everything off. Oh my God, don't tell anyone we're here. Shut the windows. Because everyone that opens their mouth has a need. And there's times when the burden of it all, but you can't grow weary in well-doing. You recognize the privilege of being a child of faith. And suddenly you realize that he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. and I can do all things through Christ. And suddenly that poor woe is me because I'm the wallet of the world, and poor woe is me because I'm the one that hands and helps it. And you find it, I'm not saying this about my kids, so please, that, I mean it. I'm trying to point out, when you get older, you thought old people had it made. I can't say this on the air, and that's why we're taping, because I can't say it. And when you get above a certain age, you're just hoping your bowels work. It's a worry. You're like, thank God today I have a free.
I know, the anointing's gone. We're going to teach you something.
And they don't get it yet, Richard, you're 62. You're 65? My God, you've done great, and I mean it. You get up at 65 and you're like, hallelujah, I can get up, straighten my back, get it under 2 minutes, you know. I'm just trying to say everything's going to change. And I don't care how much you pluck it, plump it, lift it, or work it out. It's not going to do much. You may get it all looking good on the outside, but inside you still will be like, I'm dead in bones.
Oh, this body of death that has me.
You know what I know, Linda? I don't know. I get called to people's house in impossible situations. They think I got the answer. I'm like, I just know I got faith. And I know, like Job, if he slays me, I'm going to stand for him. And in my flesh, I'll see God. Can I tell you the only thing that brings an old man joy? Knowing his family's all right. But more than that, knowing he has a God he can trust. That even in the middle of disease, even in the middle of bankruptcy, even in the middle of chaos, even in the middle of living on food stamps, even in the middle of, thank God, they did take Social Security out of my check because I never knew how to save anybody. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, what happens is, I know that God's going to see me through to the very end, and He's not keeping score on how many toys I leave with, how much money I got in the bank, but He's holding me accountable by who I smiled at, who I had integrity with, how much character I have, and above all else, do I believe His blood is enough to see me through? Can I trust Him in forgiveness? Can He really cover all my sin? Can He really elevate me to that new Jerusalem? I'm trying to express today, I don't know how all that's going to work, but I'm looking at something I can't. And I'm walking by faith in the invisible things of God that I know and my knower are true.
Yes. Amen.
So the apostle says, yeah, we had another good meeting. We don't want you to be ignorant of what we went through. Oh my God, that sounds negative. That doesn't sound too good. Well, we don't want any of that, do we? No, we want to hide our head in the sand. The apostle said, we don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above our strength, insomuch that we even despaired of our life. My God, did He bring us here to kill us? I'm trying to help us. You see what I'm trying? Do you want to know, Don, what I'm trying to do this morning? And Don, D-A-W, and also this morning. Sorry, this was the hurt. You want to know this morning? I'm trying to help this whole congregation. And I don't know about you back there in the back seat. We asked you to move forward. We're about to throw your butt right out there.
How big a boy are you anyway?
Yeah, we better not put this one on the air. How many want to put this one on the air? No. All right, good. You see, the truth of the matter is, what I'm trying to do to this congregation this morning is, you haven't given a worship offering like you need to in a long time because of your situation. You haven't believed God for a miracle in a long time because you've been pressed on every side. You haven't given God exactly what He wants out of you, which is an abandonment of reasoning and falling into faith and just trusting Him because you said a few cuss words or you looked at a few dirty pictures or you did a few things. And I'm not trying to negate the importance of not doing those things. You need to trust Him for the blood and get on about your life and get out of that pit. And you will never, never enjoy the presence of God until you allow the belief that He forgave you to loose you from the bonds of the sin, the degradation, and the habits that you're in. And then to recognize that what He has to offer is more joyful and pleasurable and long-lasting than anything this present world has to offer. Until you know that, you'll fight temptation all your life.
I need to say that again, don't I? But I don't remember what I said. So, verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we shouldn't trust in ourselves. Oh, we don't get that, do we? Well, Philip, we just don't get that. You know, we got to... It's me. I trust in what I can do. If I decide to throw you out, I'm sending four ushers back here. I'm having fun. Brother Bukta, I'm glad you got a sense of humor. God bless you. You do, don't you? All right. And so, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? Now catch this. Here's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not trying to make the gospel something that's not fun. I'm not trying to make a God that doesn't bless. I'm a prosperous man. My life's blessed. I got two hands of beanie wings. And I got a cardboard box under the bridge. Life is good. I'm not trying to negate the blessings and the prosperity that preachers bring. What I am trying to share with you is the falseness of believing when you get all your dots in order that your life will no longer have the situations that come to you right now, and you somehow, under a false pretense, have been taught that when I get it all right with God, well, it's God that allows this stuff to come in my life. He's still going to allow those trials to come because that's the only way He can let you keep proving you love Him more than you love sin, that you trust Him with faith more than you do the things you can see. And that's why if you'll get in your Bible and quit listening to the same five messages preached 20 different ways, you'll find out the apostles had more trouble than anybody ever had. Why? Because God wanted you to know the truth. He wanted you to realize, Johnny, you're in a wheelchair and I've never seen anyone used by God any more than you. I remember 30-some years ago, you and I knocked doors. I remember we went to the man's house and watched God deliver an alcoholic and fill him full of the Holy Ghost. And I remember the things you and I did together. You were with me whenever God filled our truck with gas and it was out. And the civil engineer, we began to praise God. And an empty truck started up on the road and you were there. And all of a sudden we began to... I've seen God use this man mightily today. He's in a wheelchair. But look at the smile on his face because he gets it. If God never gets him out of that wheelchair, he still loves God and he still sees him. Against every thought that makes you believe until you're perfectly healed, God doesn't love you. I come against every thought that makes you believe until your bills are all paid. I come against every thought that makes you believe until you no longer have frustration or fear or depression that God's not with you. I can have God in the middle of my fear as long as I don't become fearful. It's normal to have fear. You see, that's why I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to you this morning because the reason you're living below the joy quotient of what God wants you to live in is because you have a misrepresentation and a misunderstanding of how you've allowed someone to twist the Scripture to make you believe somehow it's all going to be, oh, the cure says they don't have any problems. We had a sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. But we should trust in God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from a great death, and does deliver, and whom we trust that He will yet deliver. Amen. Oh my God, that's powerful. Amen. If you've arrived there, you don't need the rest of this sermon because your faith's active. You see, this morning, if I've helped you in the Word of God today to recognize you're not dead to faith, your life doesn't suck. You're going through something called life on earth. If it's helping you, just put a little finger, put a hand in it. All over the building. He loves you. And I'm tired of seeing you live like you live. And what I'm trying to express by that is living under the emotional strain you're living under and not moving on into the three things that abide, which is faith, hope, and love. And when you move in faith, hope, and love, you've got a lot more joy. Faith just keeps on going while you wait. Hope just keeps on going while you wait. Love just keeps on going while you wait. Why? Because these are constant abiders here. Why else? Because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's all right to be weak. It's all right to feel a little down. As long as you keep faith and the hope and the walk in love. David in Psalms 130, musicians, if you'd come. Out of the depths I cried unto you, Lord. Here's David. Now, folks, let's look at this. King David, man after God's own heart. This is what he recorded. Can I help someone this morning? David Sundet, can I help you this morning? This has nothing to do with you, but you're on the back row, so I'm just talking to you. I know you came in late. Thank you for bringing
all those, picking them up. You see, if we're not cautious and we're not careful, we will begin to care more about what people think than what our need is with God. And we will come to a spiritual arrogant place and not realize that we feel like we cannot tell people our problem because we'll feel like it lets them think God's not with us. But the man after God's own heart not only expressed to you he's had problems and he was in the middle of despair, and he even wondered if God was with him, but yet he was holding on to faith. That he wrote songs about it and God recorded it. I love it on Facebook, all these friends we have, and I think it's phenomenal and a great tool. And I posted a picture. We had to be in court all day one day this week. And I got out about 4 o'clock for a break, and I posted a picture, and I just put, been in court all day, took a break, hoping for justice. I got a few private emails, no one knew what it was about, and they said, I know you received victory, this, that, and the other. Oh, why do you know that? Because is he going to change me one bit, whether we did or whether we didn't? Is he going to change you? Huh? My wife said, I stand in front of the furnace, and that fire gets heated up. Jerry, I don't know if I'm going to burn or not, and it's okay not to die. Just don't die. And I need to let some of you understand, God has given you permission to fail. He just hasn't given you permission to fall. You need to get back up. You need to understand time and chance happens to all men. And you need to go ahead and not allow your situation to dictate your level of joy.
Now I'm going to try to hurry through this and close down. He says, out of the depths I cried unto you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Do I need to read that verse again? David said, if you keep track of my sin, who will stand?
My God, Pastor, you need to preach it. They got a spit wipe, walk right.
Can I tell you something I never needed anyone to tell me when I was doing wrong? I seemed to know when I was doing wrong. You know, Steve, what I really need is I need someone to come along and say, even you, Joe, he can forgive. Isn't it funny? We believed him when we were a sinner and we become a saint and we make a little mistake and all of a sudden we lose the joy. I know this is long. He says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. It's all right to feel fear. It's just not all right to be fearful. Caleb, skip to 2 Corinthians 11 and 1. I would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly and indeed bear with me. I'm going to try to get through this. Golly, it's so rich to me. I guess it's so rich to me. Brandon, the reason this is so rich to me is after 30 years of looking at people's faces and doing this, wanting to help them so desperately, that I've got some insight to how the apostle feels. So I want you to look at this for a moment. Here's the head apostle. He wrote 2/3 of the epistles. And here's what he's having to tell people because of all the erroneous teaching they're receiving. Think about what I just said. He's having to take this stand because of all the erroneous teaching people are receiving. He has to say it like this. Here is the head apostle. There were times when God used his shadow to heal people. There were times when God raised him out from under a pile of rocks. There was time when he was in shipwreck. But all these other cats, man, they got things going on, dude. They got it figured out, man. They can get a committee together. They can figure out how to build a church. They can do this. They can do that. So he has to come in and say this. He has to say, would you guys bear with me just a little bit in my folly and indeed bear with me? Would you name it and claim it and give and get rich and pray and no problem and preacher, sure my ministry seems false. That you make my... This is what Paul's referring to. Watch this. Are they ministers of Christ? You know, bear with me in my folly. I'm speaking as a fool. I am more in labor. It,
More abundant in labor and more abundant I've been beaten, above measure. More abundantly I've been cast in prison and more frequently I've been cast in prison. They've never been to the house of jail. They've never been beaten. They've just taken their offerings, living a good life. But would you bear with me just a little bit in my folly, he says. He says, because all this stuff you're learning, that obviously I don't know God at all. Because in my ministry, I've had to suffer a lot of things. I've had to go to hell and back, he says. I've been beaten physically, mentally, tortured, cast in prison, even under threats of death. Why am I saying all this? Would you just bear with me? Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils in the water. I was in perils of robbers. I was in perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. You know how many good men and women we've got today that aren't in churches have been listening to that junk they call the gospel? And they feel like, my God, obviously I don't know the Lord and I'm doing something wrong because this is the kind of life I'm putting up with. This stuff Paul just said. And I listen to this type of preaching right here and I recognize, obviously God doesn't love me and obviously something's not working. Because you were never taught the trial is for your faith. Now, I'm not to the end. What I really want to do today is I want to call an altar service for just a few moments to anyone that needs to plug back in. And we want to say a prayer. We want you to plug back into God and recognize something. Caleb, if you would, turn on that on the screen where it says it's all right to weep, but you must remember joy comes in the morning. It's right above Luke 1 and 37. This is profound, and I'm done. This was said. My wife shared this with me. It's profound. She heard. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can I read that again to you? I want to read that again. Glenn, you ready? Catch this. I want to read it again. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let me try it another way. Bernardo, that means, so one thing is impossible for God. That's for Him to do nothing. That means when I pray, the one thing that's impossible for God is for Him to do nothing. It's impossible for God to do nothing. Yet it is all in God's timing. And I need to understand this morning as I fight for faith that the God that we think doesn't hear, the God that we think has an answer, the one thing that's impossible for God is nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. The one thing God's not doing is nothing. Would you stand with me and I'll close with this thought? Do you remember Jacob whose name's changed to Israel? He's already lost one son named Joseph. He thinks Joseph's dead, but the truth is God sent Joseph ahead to prepare a place for the famine so that his brethren could be saved. And then whenever the other youngest son, years later of Jacob, Israel, is sent into Egypt to see if he can find grain to buy, do you remember what happened? Joseph's still an incognito, and he holds that youngest son captive and won't allow him to come back. And so Jacob, when his other sons return, Jacob looks at his sons and he says, all these things have happened to me for my hurt. No, that was a lack of faith moment. Because see, he didn't have that New Testament thinking where one thing is impossible for God to do nothing. But the other thing, all things work for the good. Yeah. All things work for the good. The truth, Jacob, is that God had sent Joseph ahead of you to help you and took your other son. And if you don't understand the connection of 2 plus 2 plus 2 is 6, you may just be the 4. And God's waiting to make that final connection. And all of a sudden, what you don't recognize is you've had to wait a long time. And everything you think lined up against you, the truth of the matter is about to befall you. But you've got to hold on to the faith and you've got to finish the race. Because it's faith that's going to make that final connection. If you keep going without faith, then it'll never make that connection. And the reason you haven't made that connection is you didn't understand where you were. So therefore, you haven't abided in hope. And this morning, this preacher in Huffman, Texas, in April of 2015, 2,000 years after the resurrection, is saying, why don't you come to this altar this morning and realign yourself with the Word of God? If God said it's true, why don't you come to the altar this morning with us and join us and say, I this morning want to make a moratorium and a declaration that only this I know. I don't know, but I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and I know that faith will win.